Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One of the truly outstanding closers in Major League Baseball during his time, especially with the Padres, joins us. Sir, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I always tell people that in today's game that every team is searching for the 6 through 8 inning guys, innings 6, 7, and 8, and it's whomever gets lucky ends up doing really well in a particular year. When you hear that statement, what do you think?
What, that everybody's looking for a 6, 7, 8 guy, or just
everybody's looking for them, and then they put together a roster of them, and then you luck out, and a couple guys have really terrific years, and it swings the season for you.
Well, I everybody's looking for those guys. I'm huge on if you have relievers, and if you delegate a guy and say, look, he could be a lefty or righty or whatnot, hey, I want you to be our 7th inning guy. I want you to be our 8th inning guy. And you tell them that, so be ready for this. I almost feel like there'll be better pitchers in the bullpen and stuff instead of going, well, who am I just going to go with the hot hand? If people know their roles, it's almost like if you have a center fielder and a right fielder and a left fielder, if you just told them, hey, you're my outfield, and you just switch them up every game, one goes in center one day and the next day he's in left, next day he's right, they'll be good outfielders, but they're not going to be great outfielders. So I think in today's game, everybody's looking for those middle guys, but everybody just kind of throws whoever's hot out there and they don't delegate it. And the teams that delegate it are the teams that have success and do very well.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because when I look back at the 2015 Kansas City Royals, okay, when they won it, they had a 7th inning guy, they had an 8th inning guy, and they had a closer. I think Herrera was the 7th inning guy. I think Davis was the 8th inning guy, and I can't remember who the closer was. My apologies. I'll get through someday. I think it is great that I remembered it. But they had defined roles, and I think you're absolutely right. That's how it works.
Yeah, so here, I'll give you an example. So I came to San Diego in 07, and they had Clay Meredith as a 7th inning guy. They had 8th inning guy, as in Scott Linebrink, and then Trevor Hoffman, the closer. And they told me, we have we kind of need like that bridge. We kind of see you as a 6-inning guy. And I said, okay, but there's going to be times that our 7th inning guy is down and we're going to have to, you pitch the 7th because he's pitched too many days in a row, vice versa. And then, you know, if both of them are down, we might need you to pitch the 8th inning. And then if all 3 of our horses are down, you might have to pitch the 9th inning closing. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, as me, when I first got there, I was a 6-inning guy. And I did really well, but when Clay Meredith was our 7th inning guy and he was struggling or whatnot, I wanted to step into that role, not to take the role from him, is to help him out. Like, I wanted the team to win. And when Clay, because he's our guy, when he comes back and, like, you know, maybe he's leaving pitches up or mechanically he's doing something funky, when he gets his rhythm back, I'll take a step back and he'll step in front of us, you know, and then is one of those things. I kind of moved up the ladder, and it was the same way when we traded for Scott Linebrink to the Brewers that year, because we needed a left-handed, Joe Thatcher, I think it was, and we got our left-handed reliever because we didn't have any lefties in our bullpen. And I became the 8th inning guy, and everybody's like, you're going to take over as closer. Well, that year I had no intention. I wasn't thinking that. All I was thinking was, if Trevor's down, and I did get a few saves that year to help the team out, but that's his role. That's it. You know, we're all defined as roles here. Even when there's other guys that we were all, like, I was shut down because we pitched so many days or whatnot, other guys would step into our role and just bridge that gap, you know, because we had the day off or whatnot, and then come back. It wasn't a competition like, I'm going to do better, and then I'll be the 8th inning guy. You know, it was everybody had their defined roles, and everybody helped each other out. And the bullpen's a different breed. It's like a big family down there. So we don't allow anybody in the bullpen unless you're cool. they're not allowed to come, but because we have a tight-knit family down there. But when you have a tight-knit family, and I've been part of bullpens with tight-knit and bullpens that everybody's just looking out for themselves, the tight-knit families always did better as a group and as a team than the individual guys, even if we had, you know, guys that throw hard and were studs. So, yeah, I believe kind of like what you're saying. If you can define and say you're my 7, you're my 8, you're my 9, and then you're my mop-up guy, you're my 6th inning, and you're a guy that's helping these other guys out, everybody will be like, okay, I'm good. Let's go. Let's go win.
And you had 132 saves in a 3-year span with San Diego and 3 All-Star appearances because of it. You talk about the tight-knit family. What did the tight-knit family in front of you when you were the closer mean?
Everybody was on the same page. Everybody's trying to help each other out. Nobody's in competition of each other. You know, nobody's trying to take roles from each other. Everybody's going out there and trying to help each other out. Because I'll give you an example. If you bring your 8th inning guy in or your closer in the game, all 7 guys on playing defense is excited. Besides the fans, they're almost like, dude, we're going to win this game. We got this game.
Yep.
But when you bring a guy in that maybe some outfielders don't, they're like, oh, why are we bringing this guy in?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Then I don't believe – I think they always try 100%. You know, I don't think anybody really dogs it that I can tell. But it just seems like they don't get to those balls that – you know, it's kind of like when I was closing in San Diego and a ball was hit, I felt like the outfielder would always catch it. And then some guys would come in and, you know, we're up by like – say 4 or 5 runs, mm-hmm. you know, somewhat close, but not, we're still winning. So they put somebody else out there. I just seemed like our outfield didn't get those balls. You know, I think they were still trying, but when you just know, like you feel like, oh, we got this, you'll make that amazing diving catch in the outfield or infield. You'll make that great throw right on point. But when you're like, oh man, I don't know why he's pitching. Then all of a sudden mentally, you're just kind of like, oh man. And then maybe you try to do too much or you're not. So yeah, I'm big on defining roles. It's today's game, how analytics, you know, well, this guy throws a great slider and this guy can't hit sliders. I don't know about that. This guy rotation hits 3 million and this guy can only hit 200,000 rotations. I don't know. whatever happened to this guy's, it's his birthday today. I'm going to play him because you always get hits or do great things on your birthday.
Yeah. That's an analytic.
Yeah.
Just take the date.
You talk
today.
To any old player from the 80s, like early, like 90s or before, really. Anybody with a birthday, we're starting you. You know, you're starting on the mound, you're starting on in the field, didn't matter where. Somehow you did something good.
Yeah, usually a good game. Yeah.
Yeah.
the thing. They also say today, based on analytics, that if I need a couple of outs and I can win the game, or at least I perceive I can win the game in the 7th inning, I'll bring my closer in there. Now, obviously, players have to adapt to that. But when you hear that, what do you think?
I think you're not defining roles, and I think
Right. Here's
the thing. Put your best pitcher in, you're my 7th inning guy.
Yep.
Because how do you know the 7th inning is this? How do you know the 8th inning? How do you know your defense is going to be there?
Right.
You know, sometimes the defense is not there in the 9th inning. I just think you define roles. And, I mean, let me put it this way. In San Diego, when Clay Meredith was a sidewinder, he probably could have closed games. Trevor Hoffman definitely could have closed games.
Right.
Scott Linebrink, originally, when he came over in San Diego like 4 or 5 years before me, he was supposed to take over for Trevor Hoffman. He could probably close. And then I ended up closing, and everybody said I could probably close. So you had like 4 closers there, but you defined the roles. And that's what made us so unique in that bullpen in that stretch for a couple of years, is we had roles. We could have all been closers. I mean, when I was closing, Mike Adams was my setup guy. He closed for the Texas Rangers a few years later.
That's right.
We had Ernie Nieto. I'm going to say that wrong because I say Latin guys' names wrong all the time. Right. I can't roll my R's. But Fiesta, he closed for the Angels for a couple years. And he was our 7th inning guy. So it's one of those things. If you just have to find guys that can close games, and then you define, you're my 7th, you're my 8th, you're my 9th. Let's go.
What does it mean to mental preparation on a daily basis when you do know what your role is?
Well, in the bullpen – in the 5th inning, I started imagining and mental preparing myself and stretching physically, but mental preparing myself who is going to be up for the 9th inning.
Right.
And then if nobody gave up a hit, and if somebody gave up a hit, then I would redo it. And then I'd kind of picture in my head who was going to, you know, if I was going to face this guy, how would I face him in this situation? How would I face this guy in this situation every inning, from the sixth inning, seventh inning, even the eighth inning? And then go out there like I already did it mentally in my head. And when you're the sixth inning guy, you start doing it in the fourth inning, you know, third or fourth. When you're the seventh, you kind of do it in the fourth or fifth. And everybody does that. And you're all – it's funny because when I said bullpen's a family, roughly the first three innings, everybody's joking around, having a good time, having fun. And then about the end of the third, you start seeing everybody start getting quiet. Everybody's focusing on the game more, what they have to do, what their role is. We're all predicting, hey, it's going to probably be this guy. It's going to be that guy coming in because we have all our roles. And there wasn't too much of a shock, like, what, it's me pitching or he's going in this game? You know, and we're all like, let's go, get ready, because it's going to be your time, you know, this and that, and everybody's preparing. And if you have a question like, hey, how do you face this guy? Or, you know, my slider's not good today. Is there a chance I can throw something else? You know, what do you get this guy out on, Heath? Or Mike, what do you get this guy out? We would talk to each other. And I think everybody wants everybody to do so well, and we're not in competition of each other. We just want to win the game and help the starter, you know, win that game and help the team win. And we're all just trying to help each other out, have great years. And at the end of the year, we'll look back and look at our numbers. So mental preparation is really key, but it's also, I think it's very important when you have your roles, then you can mentally prepare yourself for what you need to do. If I was a closer and all of a sudden they call in the sixth inning and go, hey, we need you now. Okay, well, I didn't mentally prepare. Now I just got to go out there and physically do what you're asking me to do without my preparation.
So. All right. How many pitches did it usually take for you to warm up when you were the closer? I mean, you knew what your role is going to be, so how many pitches did it usually take?
In college, I learned how to get ready in 10 pitches.
Oh, good.
And I'll tell you this, and they taught me how to do this in college. They said you get eight on the field. Well, now there's a time clock, so you got to be quick.
Right.
But you had eight on the field. And right around the eighth or ninth pitch, you could say, hey, I'm ready. You're going to get 3 to 5 pitches. By the time the coach calls, the other coach picks up the phone, or you relay the hat signals. And then you might have 1 or 2 pitches after that while the coach walks out there slow. So you'll end up, you say you're ready in 10 pitches, but you really end up throwing like 22 pitches,
yeah,
you know, after warm-ups. So okay, you have enough. But then I was also taught everything, and we all were taught this, but we forget about it. Every pitch is like a fastball, your curveball, your changeup, mm-hmm, your slider, split, it doesn't matter. So if you can get your fastball going exactly where you want it, like locate it, then it's just a different grip. And if you take all that right, mental aspect, there you go. You just have the different grip, and you throw it like a fastball. So if you got your fastball working, everything else should fall in line.
Same arm slot, different grip.
Yep, all it is a different grip. Nothing's different except for the grip.
Yeah.
And I was preached that in college, and I took that the rest of my career.
When you look at the analytics of today's game, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
I don't like how it's like matchup. Every single, you know, person is matching up against matchup. You know, I think the integrity of the game has kind of disappeared a little bit. There's not a game. It's more of like, you know, I wouldn't even say a chess match, because a chess match can be fun too. You know, it's like, go back to World Series 2 years ago when Snell was dealing.
Yeah, they took him out.
They took him out because analytics said Mookie Betts' third time hits better off Snell, but also Snell struck him out twice, his first two at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, analytics, reporting to analytics, there should never be a no-hitter or never a perfect game in the rest of the baseball, because right, analytics says no. Whatever happened to the manager, I got a gut feeling this guy's going to hit. Mm-hmm. I just got a gut feeling this guy's going to do it. Analytics, and this is what I hear. I don't know. I kind of know, but I'm not going to tell you exactly to be fact. But I've heard from high sources, the managers don't even make lineups anymore.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of young computer guys,
mm-hmm, yep,
that don't know, they've never played the game, mm-hmm. don't know how hard it is to play a game, don't know the strategies, don't know that it's hard being out there every single day. Mentally, you have to prepare yourself. But when you're comfortable every day hitting in the third spot or doing this or that, or you're like, you know what, last time, like Manny Ramirez used to do this all the time, I'm going to swing and miss on your curveball because next time I face you, like nobody's on base. Next time somebody's going to be on base, then I'm going to crush your curveball. But I'm going to do it thinking you think that I'm going to get out. So if a hitter gets out on a slider or a fastball, whatever, he goes next to bat or next time I face him, you know, in a month, I'm going to be ready for that pitch because he's done that the last two times to me. Well, analytics says, no, you're horrible at this pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I gotcha.
People, it's not baseball guys making decisions. That's what I don't like, Ben. Right. What do I like about analytics? It's cool to see how hard guys hit the ball.
Yeah, I tell the people that. I say that. I've said all the same things you have because to me, in doing this for a long time, and I do football, baseball, and basketball as my primary three, there are multiple ways to win. Analytics happens to be one of them. And and the problem I've had with sabermetrics people is they think it's the only way to win.
And exactly.
You and I know there are multiple ways to do it.
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to plug myself. But I started a podcast like a couple weeks ago, and I talk about the Padres mostly, but baseball. And the thing is I talk about like pitching, and I know pitching, and a lot of people know pitching. And like I just said, everything leads off the fastball. I feel like analytics is like your curveball. It's like your changeup. You just can't keep throwing a changeup all the time.
Right.
But if you have a fastball and you use the changeup as an analytics, like your secondary pitch, you'll be that much better as a pitcher. Just exactly what you're saying. There's other ways of getting people out. It's just not this one way of getting people out. Like my last couple of years, analytics started being in baseball.
Yeah.
And all the scouting reports, this is how you pitch to him. And the analytics people would tell me that. And it was early, and it wasn't as good as it is now. And my question was, how do you get the hitter out? Well, this is how you pitch to him. How do you get him out? I want to get him out. Tell me that. They had no answer for me. This is how you pitch to him. Okay. So.
I always say the same thing over and over again. I've actually been to the campus of MIT. They have no national championship banners. All right, so we'll leave it at that. I can't wait to get you back on the show. It was a lot of fun.
No, thanks for having me. If you get a chance, listen to my new podcast. I probably have about 2 followers right now. It's called Ring the Bell.
Perfect.
It's mostly about the Padres, but I talk about baseball a lot. I'm a big baseball nut. So anyway, I love the history of baseball. It's great. I love to see baseball back, and we're not striking. It's awesome.
Exactly. And after being on this show, we'll go from 2 podcast listeners to 4. Perfect.
Yeah. That's great.
See, that's
double my ratings.
That's the impact I have. All right.
That a boy. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Heath. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon.